Yemeni army says it has launched a drone and ballistic missile attack on Aramco facilities in eastern Saudi Arabia. Heavy fighting is raging on in Afghanistan's Panjshir province, where both the Taliban and forces loyal to Ahmed Massoud claim to have the upper hand. And more than 100 NGOs and human rights groups calls for an arms embargo in Israel over its violation of international humanitarian law in the Palestinian territories. Appreciate you being with us. Now, the Yemeni army says it has carried out fresh retaliatory attacks against Saudi positions in the kingdom's east.
The targeting of sites belonging to Aramco in Ras Tanura, Dammam in the east of Saudi Arabia, with 8 Samad 3 drones and 1 Zulfiqar missile. Attacking Aramco sites in Jeddah, Jizan, and Najran with 5 Badr missiles and 2 Samad 3 drones. And the operation has achieved its targets, thank God.
The army spokesman said the attacks were carried out using attacks against Saudi positions in the kingdom's east. Activist and political commentator Hossein al-Bakhati says the latest Yemeni attacks indicate that peace talks with Saudi Arabia seem to have not yielded positive results.
To focus on those oil facility, I think that Yemeni forces can bring down Saudi to its knee. And as well, they have target Aramco facility in Najran and Jizan and in Jeddah. This means that it is clear message that the Yemeni ballistic drone unit and ballistic Yemeni drone unit and ballistic missile unit can actually cover all Saudi Arabia from Dammam to Jeddah to Najran to Jizan to Asir. And in this latest statement from Al-Amid Sari', he has not actually mentioned what type of military site Yemeni army has conducted the attack on. He only mentioned the economic site. And I think that this Saudi Arabia should learn that when Yemeni army actually in the last 3 months, they have conducted only a few small attack on Abha airport. They were just trying to give time if there is any peace, if the Omani negotiation and Omani will help to bring Yemeni side and Saudi side to talk to the table. But this actually shows that when Yemeni army conduct this major and huge attack, this actually explains clearly that there is no any good coming from this talk and the negotiation led by Oman.
Yemeni army says its forces have successfully liberated Rabah district in Yemen's Mareb province. Our correspondent, Abdellatif Al-Washali, brings us more.
A new major victory has been achieved by the Yemeni army against the Saudi-backed forces in Yemen's oil-rich province of Mareb. Yemen's armed forces have recaptured the strategic Rahaba district and the southern Mareb, meaning that all supply routes linking Al-Bayda and Mareb will be cut off from the Saudi-backed forces.
Cutting off the supplies in Al-Rahba would weaken the enemy forces. There is also synchronization in the movement of our forces in the rest of the northern and southern fronts towards the city of Mareb, and this constitutes a siege on the city from all sides. All supplies have been cut off from the Saudi-led forces, and they can no longer carry out any military action. Light weapons will be more effective, and the army is now able to advance more towards Harib and Al-Juba.
The Yemeni army has also managed to take control of other military sites overlooking the city of Mareb from the western and northern sides, which would help the armed forces continue advancing towards the Harib and Al-Juba areas.
The Yemeni army managed to liberate the entire district of Al-Rahba and cut off the supply routes from Al-Baida. With that, the liberation of Al-Juba and Habri area became easier for the Yemeni army. There is an insistence by the Yemeni army to liberate the city of Mareb, especially after the Saudi-led coalition's rejection of Ansar Allah's recent initiative to stop military operations there.
For months now, the Yemeni army has been intensifying its military operations aimed at liberating the strategic Marib province from the Saudi-backed forces, including terrorist groups. Marib has strategic importance as an oil-rich province. It is the last stronghold of Saudi Arabia in northern Yemen. Yemenis believe that their army will eventually liberate Marib from all foreign powers, including the Saudi-backed forces. They say now Riyadh has to bear the consequences of its disregard for Ansarullah's recent initiative to end the ongoing crisis in Yemen. Abdul Latif Al-Washari, Sana'a.
Hello and welcome to a special news segment coming to you live from Kabul. My name is Amin Alemi. Heavy clashes are raging in Afghanistan's Panjshir province, where the Taliban seek to take out the last pockets of resistance against their takeover of the country last month. The Taliban say they have advanced deep into the Panjshir Valley, north of Kabul. A spokesman says the advancing forces have captured four of the province's seven districts and are inching closer to its center. But opposition forces reject the claim, saying they have confronted the Taliban. The National Resistance Front of Afghanistan, led by local leader Ahmed Massoud, says it has surrounded thousands of Taliban forces. In a Facebook post, Massoud has insisted that Panjshir will continue to stand strongly. The U.S. is facing criticism over the manner it withdraws its troops from Afghanistan. Now, Washington's superpower status is being questioned by its closest ally, Britain. What does this mean for the US, its strategic partners, and the rest of the world? It appears there are cracks in the US military adventurism with its closest allies, including the EU.
Weeks after the Taliban swept to power in Afghanistan, the world is still evaluating the results of the West's 20-year-long war in the country. The United States have faced criticism over its messy withdrawal from Afghanistan and its achievements in the Central Asian country. The unexpectedly rapid fall of the Afghan capital, the scenes of chaos at the Kabul International Airport where hundreds of people desperate to leave the country had gathered, and the bomb attack claimed by the Daesh terror group that killed over 170 people, including 13 U.S. troops, have all raised questions about the U.S. military superiority. That's an issue British Defense Secretary Ben Wallace raised in an interview with The Spectator magazine.
It's obvious that Britain is not a superpower, but a superpower that is also not prepared to stick at something isn't probably a superpower either. It is certainly not a global force, it's just a big power.
This wasn't the first time that the British Defense Secretary has criticized Washington, a close UK ally. Back in August, he said former US President Donald Trump's decision to clinch a deal with the Taliban was a mistake.
I would say if it's a superpower or not is pretty irrelevant. The United States is still the greatest danger facing the world and the greatest concentration of private power against our species that has ever existed.
While the U.S. threatens military action against nations it deems its adversaries, including Iran, Russia, and China, it appears that more Washington allies are beginning to take up the opinion that America has lost its superpower status.
Billions of dollars spent and thousands of lives lost during the 20-year-long war, but it couldn't change the facts on the ground in Afghanistan the way the U.S. had intended. The aftermath of the U.S.-led war and its failures are leading some European nations, like the U.K., to reconsider forming a new military force without relying on Washington.
Good afternoon.
Earlier this year, U.S. President Joe Biden announced the August 31st deadline for the withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan as a means to uphold the 2020 deal reached between former President Donald Trump's administration and the Taliban in the Qatari capital, Doha. But the withdrawal of American forces from the country meant that all U.S. allies had to follow suit, regardless of whether they intended to do so, as they depended on U.S. logistics and air support, as well as the safe evacuation of their citizens. The developments in recent weeks have reignited the debate about the formation of a European Rapid Response Force.
And I think it's clear that the need for more European defense has never been as much as evident as today after the events in Afghanistan. Sometimes something happens that pushes the history. It creates a breakthrough. And I think that the Afghanistan events of this summer is one of these cases.
The EU has been working on that. It was positioned for us, 4 years ago as, well, Trump is an unreliable ally. See what he's doing. He's driving the Europeans to do this. But as a matter of fact, that project was under construction before Trump.
In an interview earlier this year, German Defense Minister Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer questioned the bloc's strategic autonomy from the United States. Her comments drew fierce criticism from French President Emmanuel Macron, who believes in the bloc's so-called strategic autonomy.
You know, Europe, with its colonial history, it's certainly, you know, not good news to find out that they're building a new army of their own again, because that has never meant anything good for the people in the rest of the world. But the fact that there is maybe another challenger being lifted up and presented to Washington, that's, I think, a healthy development.
But the question now is what it will take for the European U.S. allies to turn their ideas into action and seek independence from Washington.
Well, that's it from me here in Kabul. Now back to Tehran for the rest of the news.
Thanks, Amin. Out of Kabul, now continuing with the news right here from Tehran. At least four paramilitary personnel have been killed in an attack in Pakistan's southwestern province of Balochistan. Police say over 20 others were injured after a suicide bomber detonated his explosives near a security checkpoint in the city of Quetta. Some of the wounded are in critical condition and the death toll may rise. Prime Minister Imran Khan has condemned the attack. The Pakistani Taliban, known as the TTP, have claimed responsibility. The group has recently intensified its attacks against the Pakistani army. 120 international NGOs and rights groups have signed a petition demanding state parties to the arms trade treaty to impose a comprehensive embargo on weapons trades with Israel. The NGOs said countries have a legal and moral obligation to end the regime's use of arms for committing, quote, serious violations of international humanitarian law and human rights against Palestinian civilians. The group said governments and companies that continue to sell arms to Israel are complicit in what they call the regime's systematic brutality, its war crimes, and crimes against humanity. This comes against the backdrop of Israel's deadly war that killed nearly 250 Palestinians in Gaza back in May. Israel also conducted a deadly crackdown on Al-Quds protests against the regime's illegal seizure of Palestinian lands this spring. Now, the head of Lebanon's Supreme Islamic Shia Council, Sheikh Abdul Amir Gablan, has passed away. He was a prominent Lebanese cleric who was also instrumental in the political arena. More in this report.
Sheikh Abdul Amir Ablan, the head of Lebanon's Supreme Islamic Shia Council, has died at the age of 85. He had been hospitalized in recent days following his deteriorating health conditions. He was born in 1936 in one of the villages of Jabal Amil, a region distinguished by its religious seminaries and populated by one of the world's oldest Shia communities. He had a key role in the scientific and political movement in Jabal Amil. When young, he took up religious studies at the seminary in the Iraqi holy city of Najaf. While in Iraq, he was persecuted by the former Baghdad regime of Saddam Hussein. Sheikh Ablan continued his religious education later on in Damascus and elsewhere, and was educated by some of the top religious figures of the time. In 1994, Sheikh Mohammad Mahdi Shams ad-Din was elected president of Lebanon's Supreme Islamic Shia Council, and Sheikh Ablan was unanimously elected vice president. In 2000, Sheikh Ablan assumed presidency of the council. He had a close relationship with senior Lebanese cleric Imam Musa Sadr, who founded the Supreme Islamic Shia Council in 1969. Sheikh Ablan was a staunch advocate of resistance against the Israeli regime. He stressed that any agreement to normalize relations with Tel Aviv is religiously forbidden and would pave the way for the so-called Deal of the Century initiative proposed by the U.S. and aimed at dealing a blow to the issue of Palestine. He had called on Arab nations to neutralize any such deals and underlined the need to boycott Israeli goods. He was an influential figure in Lebanon's religious and political arenas during his lifetime.
And that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thanks so much for staying with us.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
life. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam and warmest greetings to you, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, September 5th, 2021. I'm Atefa Irfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. welcome back to your program. This is Listeners Special. And for your information, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important and useful to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. Mizanur Rahman is one of our regular listeners. Also, we have reception reports from Ismo Kapi from Finland and another reception report from Harald Seuss, one of our regular listeners from Austria. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program I will read their emails or letters, including Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, who has sent us an email. Eddie is one of our regular listeners. Bashir A. Ahmad from Algeria has sent us an email. Marek Pis from Poland has sent us an email. And we have another email from Canada. And this email is from Chris Malbo, one of our regular listeners. And the last but not the least is an email from Reinhard Klein Arendt from Germany. A million thanks for sending us these emails, dear listeners. So, after a short break, I will be back with all these kind messages. Stay tuned. Welcome back. This is an email from Indonesia, from one of our regular listeners in this country, Indonesia, from Eddie Witanto. Eddie says, firstly, let me send you my greetings from Jakarta. Thank you for your email. Day by day, I tune in to the IRIB English Radio because many topics and issues about Iranian culture and society and Islamic teachings are presented in the programs, and they are very interesting. I hope to receive a printed QSL card soon, because as a long-time shortwave listener, I still prefer the printed QSL card instead of EQSL. Best regards from Indonesia. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, and many thanks for sending us this kind and really amazing email from your region, from Jakarta. We are really happy that our signals are received in your region, in Jakarta, Indonesia. Thank you very much for sending us this email. So, that's great that you listen to IRIB English Radio every day. As you said, day by day, you tune in to IRIB English Radio. And it seems that you are very much interested in topics and issues about Iranian culture and society and Islamic teachings. That's great. This gives us motivation to continue our way and to provide the best service, the best kind of programs for our dear listeners around the world. So, you prefer paper QSL card, and as you may know, right now, at the time of pandemic, this is not possible to send you paper QSL cards. Maybe after the pandemic, we will send our dear listeners printed QSL cards and the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, the promotional items. So please, for the time being, wait for an EQSL cards. And best regards from Iran, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And from Algeria, from Africa, we have an email from Bashir A. Ahmad. Bashir A. Ahmad from Algeria says, hello, dear IRIB English Radio staff. My name is Bashir, and I have to say that I like many things about your culture, and as I have read before, Iranians have a very deep and rich and long existing history. I hope that I can visit Iran and see the beauties of your country very soon, hopefully, after the corona pandemic is over. Thank you all. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Bashirai A. Ahmed from Algeria. And I do express my appreciations to you for sending us this email. That's great. It seems that you like the programs about the culture of Iran, as you said. You have learned many things about the culture of Iran, and you described the Iranian culture as a very deep and rich and long-existing thing and its history. So, you'd like to visit Iran and see the beauties of Iran, but as you may know, at the time of pandemic, it's not possible. So, you can listen and refer to IRIB English Radio to listen to programs about the culture and history of Iran, including a program, a series called Close Up Iran. I think this program best and most describes the Iranian culture and touristic attractions of Iran. Of course, we have other programs too. We have the archives of these programs in our website, so you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/yen, and there you can find different programs about the culture of Iran. Anyway, Bashir A. Ahmed from Algeria, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Poland. This email is from Marek Peace from Poland. Marek says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, greetings from Poland. Thank you very much for the EQSL. I sent my new reception reports and listened to your programs from southeast of Poland in a city called Rzeszów. If my report is correct, please confirm it and send me the detailed EQSL. It would be also great to receive other items such as shortwave broadcast times and frequencies, stickers, and other materials. I'm waiting for your answer. Thank you. Best regards in 73. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Marek Peace from Poland, and warm gratitudes to you for sending us this email. So it seems that you have tuned into IRIB English Radio programs, and we are so happy that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio in your region and in your country, Poland. My colleagues will soon send you EQSL card, and it seems that you like these EQSLs, as you may know. We had the tradition of sending our dear listeners paper QSL cards, but at the time of pandemic, we are sending you these EQSL cards. Maybe after the pandemic, we soon send our dear listeners the promotional items and paper QSL cards, but right now, enjoy them, the EQSL cards. Marek Peace from Poland, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Here from Canada, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Chris Malboff. Yes, this email is from Chris Malboff, who says, "Hello and greetings from British Columbia, Canada. Hope this email finds you well. I haven't been able to listen to your station in quite some time, but I am just returning to becoming a regular listener of your radio. Have a good day and have a good week ahead, and stay safe during this pandemic. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Chris Malbo from Canada." You were not able to listen to IRIB English Radio sometime, but we are so happy that you have just returned to become a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. So why don't you tell us your reason? I wish you could tell us the reason why you were not able to listen to IRIB English Radio. What was the reason? Anyway, we're so happy that you have come back to become a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. Of course, many thanks for your best wishes to IRIB English Radio staff. We wish everyone health and safety in the time of pandemic. So, Chris Malbouf from Canada, now that you are a regular listener of IRIB English Radio, write to us soon and tell us which programs you like the best. So, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Germany from Reinhard Klein Arendt. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Here, as I said, we have an email from Reinhard Klein Arendt from Germany. Reinhard says, "My name is Reinhard and I am from Bergheim near Köln. I am a medium wave enthusiast. I try to listen to stations as far away as possible. Last week I heard for the first time your station. When I heard a station for the first time, I sent out a reception report in which I told about reception quality of the station signal here in Germany accomplished by an MP3 clip with a recording of that station to prove reception. At the same time, I asked for confirmation that the details of that report are correct and that I really received the station. Will it be possible for you to listen to the clip attached? That is about 35 seconds, and to notify me whether I really received your radio? Thanks a lot. By the way, in 2018, I visited Iran 2 times. I made long travels in Iran, visiting Shiraz, Isfahan, Yazd, Persepolis, and other nice places. I received much hospitality of the Iranian people. Thank you for that. Best regards. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Reinhard Klein Arendt from Germany. And many thanks for writing to us. So, it's the first time that you received the signals of IRIB English Radio. That's great. And we hope that you become a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. So, my colleagues have verified the details of your report and will soon send you an EQSL to you. It was amazing. You said in 2018, that is before the coronavirus pandemic, you visited Iran 2 times. That's great. So, was it on touristic purposes or, as you know, for something professional? Related to your profession, it seems that it was for touristic reasons because you visited the most some of the most beautiful cities of Iran, including Shiraz, Isfahan, Yazd, and Persepolis. Is a relic, is a monument located in the city of Shiraz, and that's so beautiful. So you visited all these beautiful places in Iran. Then that's great. And I have a suggestion for you. Now that you are not able to visit these beautiful places in Iran and the beautiful culture, history, and cities of Iran at the time of pandemic, you can refer to IRIB English Radio, and there you can listen to different programs about Iranian culture and history from the tongue of our anchors and radio announcers. And that's great. Reinhard Klein Arendt from Germany, we hope that after the pandemic you visit Iran soon. So, Reinhard, many thanks for writing this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Dear listeners, I think we have to skip to the next section of our, you know, program. That is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
Yes, my name's Christopher Lewis. I've been a listener to the IRIB English radio for nearly 16, 17 years, probably a little bit longer now. I'm just interested in shortwave broadcasts in general, Iran in particular, and events in and around the Middle East. I've just had a general interest in shortwave for a long, long time, and very interested in cultures as well. Well, first and foremost, with IRIB, I like listening to the news. That's one feature I've always looked forward to listening to, and also news commentaries, because it's not just international news, it's regional and local news that I'm interested in, and IRIB, for me, delivers that. It's concise. The news is put together very, very well. It's gathered very well. It's accurate. And also other programs afterwards, news analysis, commentary about events in general, world events, and Iran's view on what's happening in the world, not only close to home, but also around the globe itself. I also enjoy listeners' programs and to find out what other listeners think of IRIB and what other stations they listen to. What their view is on Iran and Iran's views about the world. Yes, I would just encourage everybody to carry on tuning in to IRIB, sending your reception reports, which I know are very useful to the station itself, and just carry on sending letters of support and interest and learning more about Iran and such a wonderful country it is, because it's got a lot of culture to offer. And one day it's on my bucket list to visit. I'd love to come and visit Iran.
Wishing you all the best. We wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The Limelight.
A new analysis released recently shows the United States will ultimately spend upwards of $8 trillion, and that nearly 1 million people have lost their lives so far in the so-called Global War on Terror that was launched after the attacks of September 11, 2001. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by John Quilley, journalist. This article is published under the heading, Estimated Cost of Post-9/11 U.S. Wars Hits $8 Trillion with Nearly a Million People Dead. Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. With the final U.S. troops leaving Afghanistan after nearly 20 years of occupation and war, a new analysis released recently shows the United States will ultimately spend upwards of $8 trillion, and that nearly 1 million people have lost their lives so far in the so-called Global War on Terror that was launched after the attacks of September 11, 2001. What about the people left behind in Afghanistan, in Iraq, after a drone strike in Somalia? What about them? Do they get any care? Do they get any compensation? Absolutely not. So what would be the cost of war if that was actually the priority for the United States? Dr. Maha Helal, Justice for Muslim Collective, said. According to Brown University's Cost of War Project, which has been releasing reports on the financial and human costs of the post-9/11 wars at regular interval since 2010, the total cost of the war and military operations in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan, and elsewhere over the last two decades have directly killed at least 897,000 to 929,000 people, an estimate the researchers say is conservative. Dr. Nita Crawford, co-director of the Cost of War Project, in a statement said, the deaths we tallied are likely a vast undercount of the true toll these wars have taken on human life. It's critical we properly account for the vast and varied consequences of the many U.S. wars and counterterror operations since 9/11, as we pause and reflect on all of the lives lost. The study calculates that of the $8 trillion estimated cost in the wars waged by the United States regime since 9/11, $2.3 trillion is attributed to the Afghanistan-Pakistan war zone, $2.1 trillion is attributed to the Iraq-Syria war zone, and $355 billion was attributed to other battlefields, including Libya, Somalia, and elsewhere. Above those figures, another $1.1 trillion was spent on homeland security programs, and $2.2 trillion is the estimated obligation for the future care of U.S. veterans who served in the various wars. Detailing the report for The Intercept, journalist Murtaza Hussein writes, "The staggering economic cost of the war on terror pale in comparison to the direct human impact measured in people killed, wounded, and driven from their homes. The cost of war project's latest estimates hold that 897,000 to 929,000 people have been killed during the wars. Of those killed, 387,000 are categorized as civilians, 207,000 as members of national military and police forces, and a further 301,000 as opposition fighters killed by U.S.-led coalition troops and their allies." The report also found that around 15,000 U.S. military service members and contractors have been killed in the wars, along with a similar number of allied Western troops deployed to the conflicts and several hundred journalists and humanitarian aid workers. The question of how many people have lost their lives in the post-9/11 conflicts has been the subject of ongoing debate, though the numbers in all cases have been extraordinarily high. Previous cost of war studies have put death toll figures in the hundreds of thousands, an estimate tallying those directly killed by violence. According to a 2015 estimate from the Nobel Prize-winning Physicians for Social Responsibility, well over 1 million have been killed both indirectly and directly in the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan alone. The difficulty of calculating death tolls is made harder by the U.S. military's own refusal to keep track of the number of people killed in its operations, as well as the remoteness of the regions where many of the conflicts take place. The researchers behind the project emphasize that while the total number of direct deaths caused by the more recent wars are less than the World Wars and the Vietnam War, the post-9/11 conflicts are different, because of the long-term damage they have done to the societies and have suffered under many years of constant bombings, death, and destruction. Dr. Stephanie Sable, co-director of the project, said in a statement, "What have we truly accomplished in 20 years of post-9/11 wars and at what price? 20 years from now, we will still be reckoning with the high societal cost of the Afghanistan and Iraq wars long after U.S. forces are gone." The Cost of War Project's report arrived on the same day as a similar study unveiled by the National Priorities Project, which showed that overall spending on increased militarization both abroad and domestically in the U.S. has soared since 9/11. In that study, as Common Dreams reports separately, overall spending on increased military operations, domestic surveillance, border security is estimated at $21 trillion. An online event with the report's lead researcher, Dr. Nita Crawford, and other experts to discuss the findings of the report was held recently. Hosted by The Intercept Hussein, the panel also featured Dr. Catherine Lutz and Dr. Linda Bones of the Cost of War Project and Dr. Maha Halal of the Justice for Muslims Collective. In addition, remarks will be made by Senator Jack Reed and Representatives Barbara Lee, David Cicilline, and Ro Khanna. Speaking during the panel discussion, Dr. Halal said that the money on war spent since 9/11 is, to her, $8 trillion dedicated to the murder of Muslims, and I see no better way to make this sound any better or different. We talk about what will happen to the veterans when they come back, she continued. Obviously, that's important to address, but what about the people left behind in Afghanistan, in Iraq, after a drone struck in Somalia? What about them? Do they get any cure? Do they get any compensation? Absolutely not. So what would be the cost of war if that was actually the priority for the United States? In conclusion to her remarks, Halal quoted from the 2013 testimony of a 13-year-old boy from Pakistan named Zabir, whose family had been targeted by U.S. drones, when he told Congress, "I no longer love blue skies. In fact, I now prefer gray skies. The drones do not fly when the skies are gray." This is the cost of war, Halal said. That a young boy 13 years old can never look at the sky the same way that people who haven't been bombarded with violence can. And this, to me, is one of the things that has been totally neglected. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM. 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners welcome to another program of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We have seen that there are certain things within the traditions and the ahadith that show that the eulogizing of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is something not only promoted by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, but is something that they themselves wanted to listen to, especially of Imam al-Husayn alayhim as-salam, as we saw in the tradition of al-Maqfuf, the companion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. But in this tradition, it is a very general tradition, in that the Imam alayhi salam does not mention a specific Imam, but rather all the Imams. Therefore, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is also included in this tradition, and we can also say that at a higher level or at a higher kind of emphasis on it because of some other traditions that we have specifically reported about the eulogy and the eulogizing of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But in this tradition, we see that those who actually perform it, the eulogizers, they are a group of people who the Imam said have been placed amongst the Shia by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Imam is actually praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their existence. So if a person is amongst the true eulogizers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, he falls under this tradition and under the praise of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. For the Imam says, Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala fi an-nas man yafid ilayna. That all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has placed amongst the people. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has placed amongst the people those who arrive in our presence, eulogizing us and reciting eulogies about us. So here it does not matter about which Imam. Right? First of all, we see that the Imam is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for creating such people. Right? So this is a discussion, you know, far beyond us, that these people were specifically placed there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to praise the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Then the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these people. So these people are very, you know, special. Now it is also something important to know. Is it just poetry, or is it any person who reminds anybody and reminds people of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam? This is important. You know, it does not have to only be by poetry. It can be by any means. This is something that we can extract from this, that the remembrance of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is important, not only by us, but also by means of us telling other people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are the instant of this hadith, insha'Allah, and of the true, you know, and of those who truly make others remember the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, insha'Allah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
This one lay.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
In what is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.